I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamertag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
I won this club. Come on.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 541. This is your host, Danny, a.k.a. Godfrey, and also we have Paris up in here. Paris.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Yeah, I just did a quick scan of Xbox Live, make sure Pete wasn't playing The Division, Rainbow Six, or Assassin's Creed
Rainbow
or something.
And also we have Pete.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah, good, man. What's up with you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just got off the phone with my son. He just watched Deadpool, and he says it's the greatest thing that's ever hit the screen.
Ooh, okay. Well, strong words there, buddy. Okay, yeah, so and also we have Patrick. Patrick's
hey,
up.
What's up, guys? We're all back here, man. Feels good to be back on the team.
I know, the whole team up in here. Are you going to watch Deadpool too? Or
yeah, actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, Pete. I've been listening for a strong recommendation. I knew I was going to see it anyways, but it gets me more excited to go see it this weekend. I haven't been to a movie in a while. It's been a minute since I've actually gone to a theater, probably since Star Wars. Yeah. So this will be the first thing since Star Wars has got me back to a theater. So I'm excited. Yeah. I missed big movies.
Like, that's been so long ago.
Yeah, I know.
Paris, sent you, I think, was it today or yesterday? Oh, actually today, the trailer for Superman versus Batman. It's the final trailer before the movie comes out. Your thoughts very quick.
Well, first of all, you did not send it to me. But second, no, you
did. I put it in the chat.
Okay, I don't pay attention to your ramblings in the chat. But
wow.
wait. So you don't read.
No, exactly. Thank you, Pete.
I don't pay attention to Danny's private Twitter feeds because that's all it basically is. But anyways, yes, I have seen it. And I just love the end because all I care about really in that movie is for Batman to whip Superman's ass. That's all I want to see. That's all I care about. So I was good for the end of that.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a lot of news to talk about, a lot of stuff going on this past week. But let's promote the podcast very quick. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/gamertag. You could also subscribe over there and spread the word. Send in your comments. Post comments there too. Just also spread the word. Very, very important to your friends, family, everybody about the show. Also, you could also send us an email, comments, feedback, all that to fanmail@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so let's talk about this, man, because I've been waiting for news about this game for a very, very long time. You know, I'm a big fan of Remedy, and we finally got some details about Quantum Break. There was a new trailer that came out today, and also it was some big news today too, that if you pre-order the Xbox One version, you also will get Windows 10 version for free, which I think is awesome by Microsoft to make this move. What are your thoughts before we talk about the other nonsense that's been going on too? First, Paris, I knew we were talking about this before we recorded, so go for it.
I think it's a great thing, what they're doing by having the Windows 10 version day and date with the Xbox One version and the fact that they're going to have cross platform saves and all that, it's a good thing. Moving forward, this is kind of the strategy that Microsoft needs to do with all of their first party titles. As long as it's available day and date on Xbox One and it's available on the PC on Windows 10, I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pawson?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's most exciting news I've probably read in a while, gaming wise, because it's not something I would expect in this day and age of how PC gamers have to wait for ports. This is unexpected, but it's really exciting too, because if this is kind of, you know, maybe an unveiling of, like Paris said, a future plan for how they're going to handle their exclusives down the line, that's a big power play. Because typically, you know, where I maybe would have just bought the Windows version whenever it came out, now there's no downside to buying the Xbox One version. You get both. And if there is some kind of multiplayer component into the game we don't know, then I can still play with both Xbox and Steam people. That's great. I would love it if, you know, Scalebound and Crackdown 3 would follow suit in this way. It'd make me really happy as Xbox.
Pause there for a second. You say Steam. It's not for Steam, Pawson.
Oh, Windows 10?
Windows 10.
Okay.
Very quick.
You just install. Okay. I'm still new to the old PC gaming thing. I just assume everything just defaults through Steam.
Okay, well, newbie, thanks for giving us your feedback. I'm messing with you. Pete, very quick, you're good?
Earlier today, there was a conversation on Twitter between Phil Spencer and someone on Twitter that we won't mention the names of, going so far as to say that Phil Spencer is now the bane of the existence of Microsoft and the Xbox brand because of this announcement. And to be honest, while I understand the person's enthusiasm for the Xbox brand, you have to understand that that brand is much larger than just the console that sits in your living room. It's now expanded to the PC and is part of that whole ecosystem. So if you are truly a brand ambassador or you know, an Xbox or a super fan, appreciate the fact that it's going to touch more people being on PC. And at the end of the day, it's probably going to look better because it's on PC where you can do more versus being on the Emerald.
Okay.
This is shot. Like, literally, I'm reading the transcript of what we're talking about right now, and I'm just, my jaws open. How someone can hold those views. And
Here's
that's crazy, man.
Here's
it's like non-controversial. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing on that. Again, not mentioning names. You can go on Twitter and look at Phil Spencer's timeline and see who it is. But the point is, when you guys first pointed out to me and I was reading it, first thing I said was, I don't even know why Phil Spencer is engaging this person. It makes no sense. It makes no sense to engage that type of negative talk, because again, it boils down to these silly fanboy wars and all this. And now they're including the PC and the fanboy wars. And it's like, really, who cares? The game is available. Look, let's take it back this way. Phil Spencer has been saying this since last E3. That the Xbox One is now a part of the Windows 10 ecosystem. It is a Windows 10 device. They've made that crystal clear, and they're integrating a lot of things cross-platform between the console and on the PC side with Windows 10. So this is just a natural extension of that, and it hurts no one. Like you said before, if anything, this extends the brand to some PC-only people that can now experience these normally console games, console exclusive games on the PC side. Maybe it gets them into the Xbox ecosystem, and now they go pick up an Xbox One because they can have the Xbox One in their living room while their PC is in their office or something, and they can flip back and forth between the games. That's, to me, that's how I view this long term. How can you take a positive and spin it into something negative? It makes no sense. And it's, again, social media arguments as a whole, another thing aside, but This hurts no one. If you own an Xbox One, you're getting the game the same as you would the same as you already thought you were going to get. And if you're a Windows 10 owner, wait, now all of a sudden you're getting the game the same time. And they're giving you the incentive to say, hey, instead of me just buying it on Windows 10, maybe I'll just go pre-order the Xbox One version. And I'm still getting the PC version. And maybe one day I do play on the Xbox. Who knows? I don't see how this is a bad thing.
So does that go in reverse? If you buy it on the Xbox app on Windows 10, do you therefore get it on Xbox One?
I don't think so.
Well, you could do this. You could, because remember, you could use the Xbox app from Windows 10. You could go to a store a retail store, buy the digital copy of that game, use that code through the Xbox app on right there in Windows 10, and you could download it. Now, if you buy a physical copy for the Xbox One, you're not going to get a free version of Windows 10 at all. So you need to buy or pre-order the digital copy in order to make this happen, to get that free copy. You know, but good thing too is that not only you will get a free copy of this game for Windows 10, but you also will get Alan Wake and also the smaller game that came out for Alan Wake,
American Nightmare, yeah.
And you also will get for the original game the DLC that came out for free. So you get all that stuff for free. It's not bad for $59.99, dude. That is not bad at all. And I love Alan Wake. And to me right now, like, I turned on my Xbox and I just downloaded American Nightmare, Alan Wake and American Nightmare, just right now for free, because I downloaded the digital version on my original Xbox 360. So I think it's a great idea, man. I mean, a great idea, great move, smart marketing move from Microsoft. You know, no other company is actually doing that. Besides, I think PlayStation and PlayStation Vita, there were certain games that if you downloaded on the PlayStation Vita version or PlayStation 3, you could download both games and stuff and play and then save the game and continue like that. Like, I think that's the only one. Nintendo hasn't done that, have they, with the 3DS and Wii U? I can't remember exactly, but let me know, guys, if they've done that. But I'm happy about that, because at the same time, this is going to help Remedy to show this game to even more people, not just Xbox, but even PC gamers, you know? So I think it's a great idea, man. I love this. I love this. There's nothing negative about this, in my opinion.
Not at all.
At all. I think this is a win for us gamers, man, you know? So, but besides that, have you seen the trailer for Quantum Break? Especially you, Pawson, because I know you're a huge fan of Remedy. Have you seen the trailer?
No, actually, I haven't.
It looks pretty good. It looks really, really good. You got to check it out whenever you get to see it.
Okay.
And no spoilers, but check it out. Another thing, too, this week has been like a really bad week with a lot of layoffs. First things first, I want to talk about this because I'm a huge fan of game trailers. I know they've been around now for, I think, 13 years or so. And Paris, I don't know if you remember this, but there was videos that we uploaded through game trailers, and they feature it. They put us on the front page. I think we reviewed the original Bioshock game, and they had us on the front page and everything. That was pretty
cool.
Yeah,
I remember that.
To support us. There was a lot of people viewing that, man. And to me, game trailers, basically, before the whole YouTube thing, they were the ones that changed the game with the whole gaming and video, before Twitch, before YouTube. And just recently, they just shut it down. You know, I know years back, I think Viacom owned the game trailers. Am I right? Viacom, but I don't know what happened. I think another company bought it, and then recently they just shut it down because of competition. Dude, Twitch is getting a lot of support. YouTube gaming is getting a lot of support, and they were just losing hits, man. It just wasn't working for them, you know? So what are your thoughts about this, man? Because, you know, game trailers to me change the game with the whole video stuff, especially Let's Play and all that stuff, you know? So anybody wants to talk about that very quick?
I have very good memories of game trailers. I mean, I used to go on that site all the time. I mean, like you said, I mean, they were one of the first people to really dedicate themselves to having a huge vault of gameplay. Trailers, things you'd want to find, machinima. You know, back before YouTubing was big, you know, you had people that had gaming-focused shows running on game trailers. I mean, there's a lot of content there. Pretty cool forums as well. I mean, I've always enjoyed stopping by on that site every once in a while, and because it kind of was my de facto, you know, oh, the new trailer's coming out, you know, what's the first place to go? I always thought game trailers. YouTube didn't even factor in back when game trailers was, you know, basically running things a couple of years ago. So I'm sad to see them go, but, you know, like they said in their little outro, they did kind of help set the playing field for what we have now with YouTubing and Twitch. And I don't think I'm going to miss them. But at the same time, I can see why might be happening to them, because they are being assaulted from new talent, all sides. It doesn't take much to start up on YouTube and Twitch compared to the game trailers. I'm sure had a large overhead they had to work with and the salary of the employees. So a lot of business aspects, unfortunately, overriding their passion for what they were doing. But they had a great run, and I wish them the best in whatever passions they choose to pursue after this.
Paris, Pete?
I mean, basically, Poston said it all, I think. I mean, it just boils down to, like he said, with the emergence of Twitch and YouTube, and not to mention also the fact that older sites like IGN and GameSpot and even sites like Polygon and all that, they transitioned from only doing written articles to they do video now as well. So game trailers kind of lost their niche, and then it just became a competition of who has the best, basically the best writers and the best on-air talent versus who's doing video. So, like I said, they lost that niche. And once you lose that niche and people, because I know I stopped going to game trailers because I saw no point. I was getting all my content from YouTube. So why would I go to game trailers to look at a video game review unless I like that personality that was reviewing the game? You know what I mean? So once that happened and they actually lost a lot of great talent over the years as well. It just sign of the times, unfortunately. It's just where we are in today's technology.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have more content. And Poston, I know you're reviewing something for this week, right? Review a game?
Yeah, we're doing Cobalt for this week, which is a really neat little platforming game. It really surprised me. But more to say to that in just a bit.
And also, for those that are listening, you send us questions or voicemails, we have extra copies too of the game. So we're going to be giving away this game for free for those that sent us questions for fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
They say adults require an average of 8 hours of sleep each night, but with the demands of a busy work or school schedule, sometimes it's just not possible. But what if there was a way to improve the sleep you do get and improve your quality of life through better sleep? So Lisa is the new mattress professionals. Starting at just $525, you can have an 100% American-made hybrid foam mattress delivered anywhere in the United States with free shipping direct to your door, and it's available exclusively online at Lisa.com. We're talking a 10-inch hybrid foam mattress with three premium layers. Their patented Avena foam top layer provides comfort and keeps you cool at night. On top of that, Lisa has a very big focus on the social impact of mattresses in their company, so much that they'll donate one mattress to homeless shelters for every 10 they sell. It's called the Lisa 110 program, and they really do believe that everyone should sleep well. Besides the social impact, they also have a keen eye on the ecological impact of mattresses. Think of every time you or someone you know has moved and left their mattresses behind, or how many mattresses you've seen discarded on the side of the road. Why not donate those mattresses instead to someone who could use it? Lisa also plants trees and promises to continue planting one tree for every mattress sold, and they're pledging to plant 1 million trees by 2025. That's a lot of trees. So your journey to better sleep starts with a Lisa mattress. Head on over to lisa.com/gamertag. That's Lisa, LEESA.com/gamertag, and get $75 off your next purchase of a Lisa mattress.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, GTR? Patrick here, aka Poston J, and I got a new review for you guys for this week. This time we're talking about Cobalt, a new 2D action platforming game available for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Steam, and developed by Oxeye Game Studio. So Cobalt puts you in the role of the main character, whose name is Cobalt, who is this little robot who is part of an expeditionary force that is sent out across the stars to help in any way they can. The game starts you off on your spaceship, just you and your AI, and the AI tells you that there has been a disturbance on a colony world sending out a distress sequence, and that you need to go investigate to figure out what happened to the missing colonist. So the game really doesn't tell you too much other than that. It starts you off as Cobalt, puts you onto the world, and then task you to figure out what's happening. And it turns out the robots have uprised against the human masters for an unknown reason that you'll discover as you play throughout the game. Very similar to something like Super Metroid's level of storytelling, where it purposely forces you to explore the environment, look at all the hidden clues, talk to all the characters to figure out what the plot is. So there's no voice acting per se, mostly text-based dialogue with, cute little voices on top of it. So Cobalt is a game that's full of style. You know, it has a very distinct visual art style that's beautifully animated in motion, you know, very similar almost to like a WALL-E, you know, aesthetic, but with that sharp 2D art style that has become very popular in a lot of, you know, the smaller indie games out there. But Cobalt sets itself apart for a couple of reasons. It breaks its gameplay down into two pretty separate sections. You have your platforming and you have your action sequences. And the cool thing is they blend very well together. You know, obviously you need to have some, you know, expertise in platforming to get pretty far in this game, but on the offset, you have to have some fast, you know, shooting-like reflexes as well. So the combat works in two different ways in Cobalt. You have your melee combat and you have your range combat. So say melee combat, you have things like shovelers or a sword, which you can use as close range combat weapons, but you can also use those to deflect enemy projectiles. So, you know, instance, an enemy throws a grenade at you, you can deflect it back with hitting it with the shovel or hitting it with your melee weapon. On the other hand, you have the ability to roll at any time, and this is very useful for dodging fire in combat because it has a context-sensitive time-slowing ability. So basically, if an enemy shoots a bullet at you, if you dodge right before the bullet hits you, you'll slow down time, so that way you can skillfully get out of the way of the bullet and then return fire. So the game is all about this really fluid sense of motion, platforming, action, almost like, you know, that lobby scene from the end of the first Matrix film where you're flipping around, shooting, things are in slow motion, you're dodging enemy fire. It's a very cool, satisfying feeling, and, you know, because you're fighting robots, there's pieces of metal flying everywhere, you can lose arms, you can lose eyes, so, you know, it's very direct with the amount of damage both you take and you put on the enemies as well. So it's a very, you know, flashy, over-the-top game that's visually pleasing, but it's very satisfying too because, you know, it's easy to pick up the controls. It's easy to learn how to roll, how to do flips, how to do special moves, but it's all in how you apply it because the game, you know, it gives you a little bit of time early on to teach you the basics of the gameplay, but very quickly the difficulty ramps up to the fact where, like, you have to be playing for real, otherwise you're going to die over and over and over again. But the cool thing is the game is set up, you know, it is designed to help you as well. You have checkpoint systems you can pick up. You can teleport back to your ship at any time. And from there, you can upgrade both your armor on yourself and upgrade your weapons as well. And you even have this little cool little armory built into your ship where you can go in and swap out different pieces. Like if you didn't want a different helmet on, one different armor, remember you're robots, so you're fully customizable from the top bottom. There's even a color editor you can go on and you can change all the little color details if you want to make your Cobalt unique from the other Cobalts out there. So it's a really cool story the game tells. You know, essentially the humans found this ancient alien artifact. Obviously, they poke around where they shouldn't have. Things go horribly wrong, and it's up to you to, as we said earlier, discover what the heck is going on and then see if you can fix this problem. So the game will direct you through the course of many different levels to collect different items and abilities to, you know, hopefully, you know, open this final alien artifact and figure out what happened to all the colonists. So you have your cool story section, but you also have an arcade part of the game as well, separate from the story section. And the arcade section is neat because it separates into different challenges you have access to. So you have combat challenges, which are these different little little sections of the game, if you will, that are designed to test your combat reflexes. And, you know, how many enemies can you fight at once? How many can you kill at once? You know, how long can you survive? Things like that. And you're rewarded and given rewards based on your performance and its online leaderboards as well. But you also have a different side of the thing. You have these speed leaderboards, which are all about, you know, how fast can you move? You know, how good are you at using the motion system to roll, flip, jump, to get, you know, crazy combos going, and that way you can have the highest score in the fastest time, you know, brag to your friends as well. But besides that, you also have multiplayer modes available. And the neat thing is you can play these both by yourself with bots to practice, but you can also play this both online and locally with another person as well. You have different game modes. You know, for instance, you have your standard deathmatch mode where you and the bots or your friends will all spawn on the same little map and you all have to gun each other down. And, you know, the first person to reach the score limit wins the game. Pretty straightforward. Then you have Team Strike, which is, you know, two teams fighting to the death, but it's a round based live based system. So you only have one round, one life. When you die, it's over. You have to hopefully your teammates can pull through for you. But at the end, you collect money, almost similar to the Counter-Strike system, and you can use that money to buy upgrades, buy weapons, and, you know, hopefully do better in the next rounds after that as well. Then you have another game mode, which is called Plug Slam, which is similar to like a CTF, almost kind of like a bomb assault kind of gameplay, more of like an eSport, if you will, where, you know, there's one center plug in the middle of the map, both teams spawn on each side of it, and you have to basically pick up the plug and throw it into the enemy team's goal to score. So it's kind of futuristic robot soccer, if you will. So it's a neat, fun game mode. Now, you know, not as reliant on the killing as the other two modes, but still, you know, rewards good strategy. So very cute, very cool, very clever game mode. And of course, you have survival as well. Most games have survival modes. This one's nice because it's two-dimensional. You don't see too many 2D survival games out there, and you can still play it cooperatively with your buddy as well, and see how many waves you can get through. And speaking of co-op, the neat thing about, you know, talking about the story mode like we were a second ago, not only can you play the story mode, you know, start from finish by yourself, you can play the whole thing together with a buddy locally, co-op on the same screen, which is a lot of fun. You know, really makes the combat that much more enjoyable, makes the puzzle solving more enjoyable, because some parts of Cobalt can get pretty frustrating. So it's nice, you know, to relax and, you know, have a good laugh and play with a buddy as opposed to the single player section as well. And of course, as I said, there is online features as well, and those feature up to having up 8 to players online. I did have some difficulty getting the online to work. It seems like either there's a low population playing the game right now, or they're having server issues. I also encountered some freezing issues as well on Xbox One, which is the platform I reviewed the game on, in terms of trying to join people's online games and sessions. It would freeze and have to kick me back out to Xbox Home after relaunch Cobalt as well. I've looked online, since other people have these issues as well, so it seems like this is something that, you know, Oxide Game Studio is aware of. They're actively trying to patch this right now, so hopefully they can get this patch, you know, pretty soon, because, you know, you don't want to scare players away with, you know, a non-working online multiplayer mode. So, but for right now, you know, the meat of the game, in my opinion, is in the single player portion and the arcade portion of the game, which are unaffected by these online server issues. So I do think Cobalt is a great game to check out, especially if you like 2D platformers. This is going to be right up your alley. You're going to really like this game a lot. If you're not, you know, more like me, more a three-dimensional gamer, if you will, this one was really neat just because it was doing things I haven't seen a two-dimensional game done before. The smart use of bullet time, you know, the really emphasis on, you know, strategic movement, strategy, really cool puzzle-solving aspects, a really humorous story, too. You know, even though there isn't actually any voice acting in the game, the dialogue is very clever, well-written. The relationship Cobalt has with the ship AI, their snarky little back and forths, you meeting the natives on the planet, all the other robots have their little lines they recite to each other. It's all a cute, you know, clever package wrapped up in this tough, difficult action platformer that will satisfy even the most hardcore gamers, but still is accessible enough for just about anybody to get into, figure out, and then realize, oh, you know what, I could get good at this, and you keep practicing, you'll get better and better, and you'll get more rewarded, because this game is all about flair and style, and, you know, the more impressive moves you can pull off, the more enjoyment you're going to get out of the game. So I really like Cobalt a lot. I recommend it. Right now, you can pick it up for $19.99, again, on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and on Steam as well. I do have a little bit of hesitancy about the online multiplayer aspect, just because it's not fully working right now as of the time of this review. But I do have faith that Oxide Game Studio will get some patches out and get, you know, all these issues worked out, so the game will have a fully functioning online multiplayer, you know, by the time hopefully you play this. Because it is nice. I have messed around with it on the bots offline. There's a lot of maps to pick from, a lot of variety in the multiplayer. So there's a lot of content here for your $20, but again, that large chunk of the single-player game, the co-op, and the arcade experience, I think, is the meat of the game. That's still unaffected by these online issues, so I think, you know, I would recommend you check out Cobalt. It is a lot of fun, and again, there really isn't any other 2D action games out there like this, and, you know, essentially not that many either with this unique, clever, fun art style, fun personality to the game. It's Cobalt. Check it out from Oxide Game Studio, available for $19.99, again, on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Steam. I do recommend you check it out. And with that, I'll kick it back to the crew for the rest of the show.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Gamers, there's so many games that's coming out this year, and we have all those times where we need a little extra money. Well, I have got a really easy way you could do it. Drive with Uber. Uber's a smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. So as a driver, it helps you to make extra money driving your own car, and it's totally flexible. You don't have to quit your day job to make more money because Uber lets you make extra money on your schedule. Whenever you need extra money, just turn on the app and drive. A few hours here, a few hours there, it all adds up. And it's really easy to get started. First, go to drivewithuber.com to sign up for free. You could do it right now on your phone. Second, answer a few basic questions about you and your car and then get approved. Third, start driving. That's all there is to it. I told you it was really, really easy. So Gamertag Radio listeners, start enjoying the flexibility of working when you want and earning extra money on your schedule. Sign up to Drive with Uber. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. Once again, Drive with Uber. That's UBER.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here. And Poston, thanks for the review.
Oh, thank you. No problem.
That was really good. And there was also more layoffs. Pete, very quick, it drives me crazy every time I hear about this. It always happens in the video game industry and stuff. But tell us, there was more, right?
Yeah, there's more layoffs in the gaming industry, unfortunately, and it's part of business. This one is kind of confusing in my personal opinion.
Okay.
Mad Catz has laid almost 40% off as of yesterday, and I believe there was another round of layoffs that hit today. The part that confuses me is they just launched the Rock Band 4 title, and you would think with all the additional revenue that Harmonix is generating from their game that Mad Catz and their brand of accessories would have just, you know, would just help that. Unfortunately, I think it was like just maybe a couple of weeks ago, senior VP and a company chairman resigned, as well as the president and CEO, Darren Richardson. And I think according to the update I'm seeing now, it's up to 63% of its staff is now unemployed. Like that's more than half after reporting such increases in revenue and just staying there, although we've made so much money and actually up 114%, almost $65 million for the third quarter, or projected third quarter. And you're firing more than half of your staff. I think, I understand it's business, but that's not.
Can I jump in real quick, Pete? That update you're reading, it said that originally they thought it was 63%. That was the portion of the company they were planning to retain. So they actually did just fire 37%.
Okay. Staff. But then again, then they just laid off another set today. So,
okay. Still, I was just going off the update from the original article.
No, that's cool. That's fine. But yeah, we're still talking a large contingency of people.
For a
large
big contingency company of
people
like
that are now unemployed.
That's had a resurgence. I mean, put it this way. I mean, for years, Mad Catz to me was always the off-brand controller company I never wanted. And it really wasn't until I bought my fight stick for Street Fighter 4 from Mad Catz, seriously. And I was like, holy crap, Mad Catz can make some good stuff when they want to. Street Fighter 5 is about to come out, any day now, feels like it's real soon this month. They're going to have lines of Street Fighter V arcade sticks from Mad Catz go launching with the game as well. I'd hope that would help them a bit. I know it's kind of a niche product, but Street Fighter V is a huge game launch for them. And I know Mad Catz has been partnered with them for a long time. They follow them to the competitive tournament scenes, have sponsorships of pro players like Daigo Umehara. They're a big deal in the fighting game industry. So, I hope that they can see some success this year with having a big Street Fighter V title to rally around, make products around. So, I wish them the best. I mean, they're a good company.
Yeah, and I know, Paris, I know there was also another layoffs that happened too, right, this week?
Yeah, Gigantic laid off the vast majority of their staff, unfortunately. They called it a temporary layoff, but in my experience, once you get temporary laid off, you better go look for another job because eventually it's going to turn into a permanent layoff. It's unfortunate. It just sounds like a lot of the funding that they were expecting to happen didn't come in on time. So they let a lot of the staff go. I guess they're pretty confident they're going to eventually get that funding that they need so they can continue to go. And I like the game. Got a chance to check it out at E3. I played around with some of the alpha and beta stuff a little bit, and I was hoping the game would be out by now. So it's kind of unfortunate that it's not out yet and had to lay off a lot of the staff, but hopefully they'll eventually rebound.
Do you think something like this is a result of the flood of MOBA type games coming into the market. And you have Paragon and all, you've got all these, you know, Battleborn, I think, is another one.
Overwatch. From Blizzard,
Overwatch from Blizzard. There's a lot of similar style games flooding the market at this point. And I can't see, you know, I can't see people, especially for a game that was, I don't know if it was going to be free to play. I don't remember that from everything, but it's sad to see, because Gigantic was a great game from what we've seen so far going through the alpha and beta testing, as Paris alluded to. It's a shame.
Yeah, and recently I just got a call from them. I think it was just yesterday, the same day they announced his layoffs. They sent me a code. That was kind of strange. I don't know. That was kind of weird. I don't know, man. This happens every single time, especially when they're done. They're finished with the game. They really don't need a full size staff. They could just trim it down, and until they work on the next project. You know, it happens all the time with other companies. You know, so. Oh, another thing too that I've been reading today, Ubisoft, have been making a couple announcements today. No Assassin's Creed for 2016 is official. I think that's a great idea. Then they definitely needed a break from this.
Absolutely.
It was just like too many games every year, man. Too many. And, you know, by them making this move, I think that's going to help the game. And then probably the game is going to be a lot better. New ideas, new experience. Hey, take your time. We're good. But 2017, they're going to have a lot of things, man. A lot of games, too. They're going to have a new, of course, For Honor. This is between 2016 and 2017. So For Honor, a new South Park game. Tom Clancy, Ghost Recon, which I most likely will be 2017. I don't see that coming out this year.
Yeah, definitely not this year.
A new Watch Dogs.
That'll be interesting.
Big surprise there.
Big surprise? Why?
It's that was sarcasm, Danny. Oh.
Hey, I don't know. I'm just saying. But are you excited for any of these games at all? Or,
you know, me and Pete are flipping our S for Ghost Recon. I mean,
yep. I can't wait for that.
Wildlands could be my game of the year for next year. Like, yeah. It seriously was that impressive from a pre-alpha stage from last year's E3. Man, that game was clearly thinking ahead of the rest of its competition at this point. So, you know, I'd love if, you know, other games were announced at E3 this year. It was like equally like, oh, wow, cool. Other people are pushing the envelope of what you can do in first-person, third-person shooters. But right now, Ghost Recon has my full attention. But let's see how The Division plays out next month.
Yes, that's true. Which P is very,
we'll see.
Very excited. By the way, open beta officially confirmed, Pete.
Woo!
Officially confirmed. I'm not touching that, though.
I will, because I want to know.
I'm still fiending.
I'm not touching it. I really want to be surprised. I'm like Paris. I want to get the full version, retail game, check it out, get my honest feedback. Usually betas kind of kill the whole excitement, man. So for this game, certain games I'll try the beta. Like, I'll give you a perfect example, Pete. I just tried Homefront, the closed beta.
Yeah, I tried to get on earlier today, but apparently I was like an hour early, so okay. I didn't get a chance. But unfortunately, I haven't heard good things. I've got a couple of friends that have hit me up. They're like, hey, we got in. Take your time.
I don't know, man.
But again,
I want you to play it.
It's a very...
This is more your type of game. Like this, I just tried it out because I was just curious. I got a code.
But it's an early closed beta for the testing. So I don't know if the condition that it's in is because they've reduced the graphics, which they've done in the past. They did that with Titanfall last year or 2 years ago when the game launched, where they reduced the graphical content by 50% just to see, you know, just so that, you know, people could play the game in a quasi stripped down state to test, you know, servers and multiplayer. So I haven't, you know, fired it up since earlier today, but I want to get some hands on and
okay, all right. Maybe I want to get your honest feedback for next week.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, all right. So just very quick, right there, right. All right, so we're gonna wrap it up, guys.
I forgot something.
What we forgot?
You know, the elephant in the room. Activision had their investors call, and
go for it.
Well, hey, big shock here. There's going to be a Call of Duty and a Skylanders this year. Big shock on that. I'm sure no one saw that coming.
Oh, man.
But no, they talked about Destiny, and then Bungie came out afterwards and had their update. So a lot of people complaining about not having enough content for Destiny. They revealed that there will be an expansion that's going to come out later this year in 2016. You know, think like the Taken King. And then the actual Destiny sequel will happen in 2017. And then Bungie also confirmed they're going to have a smaller update this spring, probably along, sounds like it's going to be along the size of something like House of Wolves or whatever. So I don't know if that's going to be enough to bring people back, but hey, it is what it is. Just putting it out there.
Is it enough to bring you back?
Yeah. I mean, technically I haven't stopped playing because I play with my son. So, but I'm not as excited about Destiny as I was 6 months ago. Let's put it that way. But I do still play, and I do still want to see the game succeed, even though this Crimson Doubles thing that's out right now for a week is.
wait, Paris. So the expansion pack that is coming out this year, do you see yourself, and P also, do you see yourself buying this at all?
Probably. I don't know. I probably will.
I'm on the fence. I haven't touched the game in a good 3 or 4 months. November, December is probably the last time I played Destiny on purpose.
On purpose. Is it because of the Division, or is it because you just got bored?
I would say it was probably 50-50. The Division Alpha really pulled me away from wanting to play Destiny again. I don't know why. And then part of that, and then I think that compounded with a little bit of burnout on Destiny. Mm-hmm. I think that was the straw that just, you know, that broke the camel's back. And I hate to be cliche there, but I think that was enough to be like, okay, look, there's bigger, better things on the horizon. It is what it is. We'll see.
All right. I'm just asking, man. I'm just asking. All right. And I know next year is the sequel, which I don't know.
Yeah, I might just wait for that, honestly. If it's small content. Sequel? Yeah, I mean, I love the game. It's just I want to be like excited, like looking forward to something and maybe like a full retail expansion.
Well, here's the thing.
Interesting to me.
As long as the expansion that comes out this fall has a raid, I'll get it. Just play the raid. That alone is worth $40.
I have to pay for like $50 for whatever I have to pay for the expansion. As long as it comes with that smaller content we were just talking about, I'm fine. But don't try to like make me have to buy that smaller content before I'm allowed to buy the later content, because I'm not, you know, I'm missing that extra five level up or something. I hate when companies do stuff like that. As long as I can, you know, go right from, God, I'm blanking what last expansion was called.
Taken King.
Thank you, Pete. As long as I can go straight from Taken King and go jump right into the new expansion, Destiny 2, whatever you want to call it, next year, then I'll be happy. But, like, again, don't make me have to buy the micro stuff that comes out in between.
Well, I would doubt that they're going to force you to go back and buy any expansion packs from Destiny 1, because they're treating, because, I mean, Activision even said it, this will be the sequel to Destiny, aka we want to get even more people playing this game. So they're not going to make people backtrack and buy the old stuff. They'll just move all that stuff forward into whatever the sequel is going to be, I would imagine.
That'd be good. Be on board for that.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. And remember, this Thursday we have fan mail. And Pete, I believe we're reviewing Unravel.
Yep.
All right. So stay tuned. Gamertag Radio this Thursday. I love fan mail. So, by the way, if you send questions for next week's episode, we're going to give away some free codes for?
Oh, for Cobalt.
Cobalt. We're going to give away that away. We have a couple codes, so just send us an email, cool question, or a voicemail, and we'll hook you up. All right? So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, and give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail at GamertagRadio.com. By the way, you could also go to play.it. You can find us over there too, man. So we're out. Until next time. See you this Thursday. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.